from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Less than an hour, we'll have your manager and the Royals manager, Matt Cotrero. He'll join our show on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, as we will talk to him about how sweet it is to get a victory in Yankee Stadium.
Should be an emotional day, too, in New York. I mean, we're at the 23rd anniversary of 9/11, and watching the broadcast a little bit last night, they were talking about, Joel was talking about it. He did an interview with Vance Wilson, the third base coach for the Royals right now. He was a backup catcher for Mike Piazza and the Mets back in 2001, and gave his thoughts and everything about playing baseball in New York on 9/11. And you know, as a guy who grew up in that area, you could used to be able to see those Twin Towers from, you know, my parents' neighborhood and whatnot. It's still a very emotional day. And I read a stat this morning that 25% of the population now in the United States has no recollection of 9/11. And
one
it's
of them is right over there.
I know.
And that's not a shot at
Mac. No. I mean, he can't help when he was born, right? And so I just think, like, you know, time marches on very, very fast. And as we get further and further and further and further away, you tend to forget. I mean, that's just kind of, you know, time heals all wounds.
That's right.
As they like to say. And so I think on a day like this, I think it's going to be very emotional for a lot of people in New York. It always is, you know, for New Yorkers and everybody who lost somebody 23 years ago. And as we get further and further away, we tend to remember less and less and less about the impact of that day. And, you know, I got 10 years on you. And so I was working at KMBZ at the time when it happened. And, you know, we had just gotten the night show and September 10th, people always said, "You remember where you were September 10th, 2001? "Yeah, I do. I got promoted.
11th. The
night before I got promoted. I was doing the nighttime show at KMBZ, right? Shout out Pam, one of our first listeners and always there every step of the way, right? Love you, Pam. And then the next day, 9/11 happened and the world, you know, changed as we know it. And we're still feeling the effects of that today every time you go to the airport. And I'll never forget, you know, being in the Royals clubhouse during that time and trying to figure out what they were going to do. Are they going to play baseball? Are they going to travel and whatnot? And it was a very high tense situation. Everybody was arguing with everybody. I mean, we were there. I felt like, and you know, as the years go on, it feels like it was longer. I felt like we were there for like all 24 hours. Like all the players in the media were just hanging out as one.
Yeah.
And there was no, like, "I'm a player and you're the media." Like it was really a different atmosphere. And there was a point in time where everybody just started kind of moving really, really fast. And you're like, "Well, what's going on?" They go, "I think we're busing to Detroit right now to start playing baseball games." Mm-hmm. And then that got canceled and that never happened. And, you know, they started baseball up, you know, the following week. But I mean, it was an interesting situation. And then for me, what really topped it all off was the NFL pausing that weekend, obviously, and then having that first game back at Arrowhead happening to be the Giants. And my dad and his buddies came out for that game. And it was arguably the most emotional experience I've ever had at a sporting event. They passed the boot around for the firemen. We raised almost $500,000 inside Arrowhead Stadium that day. And that's straight cash, homie, back in the day where nobody was using Venmo and whatnot. I mean, these boots were getting filled with cash in the stadium. And, you know, that was a great day for Kansas City. And everybody came out running with the American flags. And, you know, it was really, really, really one of those emotional days. And, you know, I flew into New York 4 days after 9/11. And I'll never forget that flight landing in the Newark airport, looking out the left side of the plane and the silence on the plane and the flames that were rising from lower Manhattan. And it was like, just wow. It was so emotional, obviously. But 23 years, man, it goes fast. And this is a little bit of a lesson in life too. Like, I was talking to my daughters yesterday. I'm like, you know, 10 years ago you were at, you know, nursery school over at Sunshine School. I go, and my daughter says, she goes, "Yeah, in 10 years from now I'll be long out of college." I go, "Yeah, That's how fast this time goes. I can't believe it's been 23 years since 9/11. And you know, for the Royals to be there tonight, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of tributes, and I'm sure it's going to be emotional for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I didn't plan on diving into this much, but I remember where I was. I think, you know, being 37, you know, obviously 10 years younger than you.
Yeah.
I was in eighth grade. I was in what we called like our homeroom.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out Mr. Pollard. He was our teacher, and we used to have a giant TV. Now, I went to Hallmark Carter Middle School in Blue Springs.
Were you still getting those on a cart, getting wheeled in?
No. They hung from the ceiling. They were the old school, like you have a TV in your room.
Yeah.
And we always watched Channel 1. That was like the show we watched. So for those of you that are in the same demographic as me, again, 37-year-old, 2001, I'm in eighth grade. I'm in my homeroom, Mr. Pollard's class, Hallmark Carter Middle School, Blue Springs, trying to paint the picture as best I can. And Channel 1 gets turned off because it all started about 8 o'clock in the morning, a little after 8.
And I remember I was producing the afternoon show at KMBZ and hosting the evening show. And I called the host that day. And I go, what do you want to – this is before I knew what was going on. I said, what do you want to talk about that day? And he slams down the phone and goes, put the news on.
Right.
And I remember calling my dad, who was still working at the time. I go, Dad, are you okay? He goes, I'm on a sales call. I go, but the building – he goes, it was just a commuter plane. It's not that big a deal. Stop bothering me at work type of thing. I'm like, you're like 30 minutes from what's going on?
So again, back into that classroom, and we get there, and normally the setting of the room was everybody kind of got to sit on the desk because they were just like basically tables with two chairs underneath them. They weren't like the old school style desk that just killed your Achilles with that metal bar underneath it.
Ugh.
But I remember we were sitting there and he had the TV on and it was very static, but it was clear enough. And the first plane had hit the first tower. And I'm, you know, confused like every other eighth grade kid. Like, I didn't know what the World Trade Centers were. I knew that Kevin McAllister stood on top of one in New York City, Home Alone 2, taking a picture. I remember it being in the background shot of, like, Men in Black. The first one when the guy's wife's giving birth to, like, an octopus alien or whatever it was. But that's all I knew the World Trade Centers were just these iconic buildings. I didn't know if they traded there. I asked you yesterday, you know, is it just office buildings? And I had a good rapport with this teacher, Mr. Pollard. And I said, hey, I was like, what's so significant about this other than the awful accident that we're seeing? He goes, well, there's a lot of different angles that can be taken right now. Either this is a pilot that lost track of flying. This is a terrorist attack on our country.
Nobody wanted to believe it was a terrorist attack right away.
And all of a sudden, like the next thing that happens, the second tower gets hit and everybody everywhere was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like school was out the window. Kids didn't know what was going on. Teachers knew. Obviously, they knew what was going on. And their goal at that time, which was super powerful to think of as I get older, was how do we keep these kids in line, but also in their thought processes, the world is completely shook right now because of what they knew, but how you teach it to children, right? How you tell these kids what's going on. And I remember going home, and I remember my parents just very off, very different. And I'm with my dad at this time. My parents were divorced. I'm at my dad's house. And we're sitting there, and he's got the TV on, and him, my stepmom, are just sitting on the edge of the couch, just like watching this.
All you can do is watch.
And my dad, you know, then all of a sudden the reports start to come out of what they kind of knew it was. And I will say this, I remember the four things that I remember very clear about that outside of where I was the very moment that it happened. Number one was I remember, and I will always remember because it's always been a meme at this point in day and age, is when the guy walks in the classroom and George Bush tells, he's getting the story, he's reading to kids, and the guy whispers in his ear, and you see him completely melt.
Right.
The other three things that are a little bit more uplifting and a little bit more feel good for me is number two, when George went out in that New York game as the president of the United States, not a vest on, not a helmet not a guard, and it's a World Series, and he fires a strike down the middle of the plate.
Right. That was a great moment.
The other one that I also remember is when Mike Piazza hits the home run.
Yep.
And they did a documentary, like a short 30 for 30, shorter than that, like an E60 on this. And they have the people that were there, the announcers, the pitcher, and Piazza, and it's just like they're all telling the same thing. Like the crowd is tense. Everyone's looking over their shoulder, not knowing what's going to happen. And then Piazza hits a bomb, and the whole place, Mets fans, Braves fans, everybody loses their mind of like, this is us. We're back together as a unison, not knowing what had happened other than the seal was broken of excitement with a home run. And then the other thing I'll remember being in radio and understanding this is that Howard Stern's show that day was one of the most, if not the most, greatest moment of radio I've ever heard in my life to hear somebody who is known for like fart jokes and pornography and being absurd and being a shock jock, probably the first original shock jock.
Absolutely,
is diving into this as it happens second for second for second. And I just remember going back in college and listening to that for the first time, not knowing that it ever had happened. And I listened to that, and I almost listened to it every year. Sometimes it's a little too hard to listen to. But those are what I kind of reflect around that day, which is today, and which will be an emotional day in the Bronx.
No, it's going to be a very emotional day. And I think this should be an emotional day because it's a day our country changed. I mean, you know, and I don't think it's changed for the better at all. You know, with everything that now we have to go through security-wise and how everybody's on high alert all the time, tension. Are really high. But I think one of the biggest takeaways, you know, truly from 9/11, and again, we hadn't planned to go down on this, but, you know, this is about the time of day as well, where if you're on X, formerly Twitter, you want to follow Ari Fleischer. And he was with President Bush on that day. And I kind of get emotional talking about it, but this guy goes through a moment by moment account of what was going on throughout the entire day in real time. He'll put out the tweets that he does every year, but just going through that emotional kind of conversation and seeing that on Twitter from Ari Fleischer is one of the more powerful things. And I was talking to my friend Diane Houston yesterday kind of about the history and whatnot and how younger generations, they don't really care about the past. And if you don't focus on the past, you can't understand where we are today. And so that's why I don't understand why a lot of people don't focus on history, because a lot of it tells you the story of how we got to where we are. Like if you go to an airport and you're 22 years old and you wonder why you got to take your damn shoes off, well, today is the reason why we've gotten to that point in time. But the biggest takeaway, I think, and maybe this is a little, you know, sports-ish, if you will, but we show how sports can heal in this country and how sports brings everybody together. No matter what team you're rooting for, no matter what city you're in, sports is the galvanizing factor that we all have. And sometimes we take it a little bit too far and we let our fandom take over and whatnot. But without sports, I don't know how this nation really starts the healing process from 9/11. It's really the first thing that got us back to being quote unquote normal again, where we had games every night. We had football on Sunday and Saturday, and we had that opportunity to kind of forget about it for 3 hours. And I think that's the beauty of sports. And that's what sports needs to be looked at in my opinion. And as I get older, I start to reflect on that more and more. It's about that 3 hours of enjoyment. Did I enjoy what I just saw? Did I have fun watching it? The answer is yes, I had a good day, man. And you know, Jim Valvano would say, you smile, you laugh, you cry. That's a good day. You watch a game at night, you get 3 hours, 2.5 hours, however long it is to take you away from everything that's going on in the world. That's a good day. And that's what sports is about. And being in Arrowhead that Sunday for that game, where the first time my dad and his friends came out to a game at Arrowhead, man, they were attacked by Chiefs fans, right? Wearing Giants jerseys. Oh my God, what are you doing? And then in 2001, everybody was hugging. Everybody was crying. Everybody was emotional. It was a time that I'll never forget, and a time that was shared by everybody that brought everybody together. And you could feel everybody healing inside that stadium. And that's what sports does. That's the beauty of sports. And sometimes we forget all that. We're also getting some great stories on the text line as well, where people were. One guy texted in. He goes, I was a bum 21 years old on my friend's couch, and the very next day I was up at the airport getting a job at airport security, which they get severely underpaid for. And I will say, you are right about that, my man. Those guys and gals that run security at the airport are basically paid to be abused by us, the travelers. Stop doing that.
It's tough. It's one of those things too, where you get older and, you know, like Mac, I think you were what, probably two? I think you're what, 20?
2 or 3. Yeah.
So, I mean, again, it's, you know, to some, it's not as, and it kind of reminds me of, like, you know, growing up for people that talked about Pearl Harbor, right? Like, I didn't know.
I wasn't born
in the early 40s, and, you know, our grandparents
would.
And they would tell us stories. They're like, this is going to be worse than, you know, Pearl Harbor was. And I'm like, well, I don't really know what that was like, but I can only imagine now that I had something to kind of go off of, unfortunately, at that time.
I think each generation has one of those moments, right? Our grandparents would have been Pearl Harbor.
Mac has COVID.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, he's wiping his nose right now.
Then our parents' generation had JFK and that assassination. And boy, if I heard that story one time about what happened when JFK was assassinated, I heard it a thousand times from my father. I was at football practice, ran up and looked into the shop, and they saw it on TV and all that stuff that happened. We have 9/11, and you're right. This new generation that's coming in now is dealing with COVID. We've all dealt with these major catastrophic events. And at the end of the day, what brought us all back and really started that healing process from COVID? It was sports, right?
Sports.
Whether we were watching Emu's race in Japan, Korean baseball, marble racing, whatever it was, baseball in front of fake fans. Like, and that's why I still go back and look at Major League Baseball and say they dropped the ball on that. They had an opportunity to heal this nation a lot further or a lot earlier than they did. But the union, of course, and the owners were fighting over money instead of just getting their asses back out there and playing and healing the nation quicker. They were selfish about it and effed up the whole process. But you had the NBA come back. You had baseball come back. And mm-hmm. that started to heal the nation. Being able to see the NFL during the COVID times helped heal the nation. And that's what sports does, man. We don't realize how impactful and how big a part sports is of our daily lives until it's gone and it's taken away. And it was taken away for a very brief time during 9/11, about a week. But during COVID, my God, we went months without having real sports and things to watch. And then it comes back and you realize, man, how much you need it and how much you crave it and how important it is to our daily lives. Whether you're checking out three innings of the Royals game or a half of the Chiefs game, we all focus on sports and it's the one thing we can all rally around.
There's only one number in Williamsport Little League that's retired. The story goes as followed. Firefighter Michael Camarada lost his life at the age of 22 in the September 11th attacks. In 1991, he played right field for the Staten Island team that made it to Williamsport. His number 11 is the only number retired by the Little League World Series.
Holy cow, that just gave me goosebumps. I'd never heard that story before.
It's on the wall out of Williamsport.
Wow.
So I've always wondered, you know, why there's 11. I've seen it before.
That's amazing.
It's on the wall.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a great story. Obviously a sad story, but that's a great story. I didn't know that. And then, of course, Shanksville, Pennsylvania, you mm-hmm. know, in the middle of Pennsylvania and the Pentagon as well. I mean, we focus on the World Trade Center. There were two other planes full of people mm-hmm. that lost their lives that day, man. Like it's
interesting when you get to the demographics of all the different, you know, stories. And I think a lot are, you know, people that listen to radio are starting to fall under the age of my age. And
yeah.
you see people from the 620. I was in seventh grade. We didn't switch classes all day. We sat in the same room and watched the news. Exactly. I didn't leave Mr. Pollard's class.
You didn't. You stayed.
Did they
cancel school the next? I don't remember because I was working.
No.
So I don't remember if school was canceled or, mm-hmm. you know, but how they did. What was the next day like at school? And how long did you guys that age talk about what was going on?
The next day was more of like, cohesive that we all knew kind of that it was a terror attack and
yeah.
that it was like, hey, this is a deal. And of course, being in eighth grade, right, I know that I'm getting ready or I'm eventually going to turn 18 and I'm thinking to myself,
am I getting drafted? Yeah.
And I know that that's probably an egregious thought, but again, think of me being 13 years old.
No, it's obviously
5 years
yeah.
from 18 and thinking to myself, like, I've never been a part of this. This is massive.
Mm-hmm.
There were multiple attacks on our country. And it also gave you the idea of, like, maybe that's something I want to do. Like,
yeah.
you think of the Pat Tillman story. We're
right.
not going to get into the whole thing, but why he decided to get into the military and leave sports was because of the 9/11 attacks. He wrapped himself in the flag and signed up to go fight the war.
Right.
And
a lot of people did that.
Exactly.
Day. A lot of people
and
did.
We have yeah. a guy here. I was in the Marine Corps in Asia at the time. It was nighttime over there when it happened, and nobody said anything or told anybody, but the line started forming for the Army to check out, you know, like all the stuff that people wanted, you know, for the Marines and stuff like that.
Right.
So to think about the next day, I've always been somebody who's always, if something is of interest or is of noteworthy, I'll figure it out and not just kind of figure it out mm-hmm. on my own. I'll go to sources and talk about it. And I do remember the next day, like, the teachers were very somber. Like, the mood was like the air had been deflated from the building. Nobody wanted to talk about anything at Hall McCarter that day. And we just kind of went through the motions of, this is the next day of life. This is something where we will. And I remember I had a teacher. I can't remember who it was, but I remember, I think it was Mr. O'Connor. And he said, he was like our history teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, the lesson we have today, and I'll never forget this. He said, the lesson we have today is that this will be something of your lives the rest of your life that you're alive.
Absolutely.
And yep. not like the whole FDR speech of today is a day that we live in, you know, not
right.
like that, but it was one of those things where it's like, you all are 13 years old. Some of you are 12, maybe some of you are 14. This is a day in your life that will always be brought up. It will never be forgotten. It will always have some sort of significant, you know, and here I am 37 years old out of eighth grade, obviously,
and we're taking an entire segment and filling it because we know where we were, we know where people were, and as we are, as this show, as relatable as possible.
I mean, I'm looking at the text line, and
there's a lot of people that were, I was in fifth grade, we started watching the news right before the second plane hit. Absolutely insane it's been this long. That's another thing, that you add layers to this story. Like, we were in the studio yesterday, we're like, you know, what's it going to be like in the Bronx tomorrow when they play in the game for the 9/11 day? And he's, you know, we're both sitting there going, first off, I can't believe it's been 23 years.
Right.
You know, every year it seems like it was yesterday. And, you know, somebody, sophomore year science class, Odessa TV, we watched the second plane hit the tower. I never forget that. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, all these things that happened, whether you were in second grade, sophomore, 21, doing a radio show, no matter what, you remember the smell, the lighting, the feel, the channel, the TV.
Oh, I remember everything vividly that day.
Every little detail. And that to me is something that I will never forget, because I know exactly what I was. I was sitting down. I was wearing Adidas button-up pants from the ankle to the hip. I was wearing a shirt that said "and one" on the front. On the back, it said, "get your umbrella because I'm making it rain." Mm-hmm. That's how cheesy it was. And I didn't have a hat because they weren't allowed. So I had gelled comb hair. I was just a little eighth grade kid. But I could tell you everything about that day because of how horrific it was. But I can tell you now how great we were as people and as a nation to come together.
It was a great time to be an American. Like, I remember having the conversations on air once we got back on the air. And I think we took about 2 weeks off from doing sports over at KMBZ. And then we got back on the air. And we were talking a lot about, obviously, what was going on in life because we were all living it. And at that point in time, like, in my 47 years on Earth, I've never been prouder to be an American than I was during that time, because of the way everybody just put aside their differences and everybody lived for everybody else. Everybody put everybody else first. What can we do? How can we help? How can we unite? How can we heal? How can we make it better? Now, there were some jackasses out there, and somebody texted in about gas prices, because there was a gas station over here on Shawnee Mission Parkway when we were at Belinder, at 49th and Belinder, basically, is where the old studios used to be. There's a gas station that's now a Russell Stover's chocolate shop. It used to be a gas station. Mm. As soon as that day started, by midday, they had jacked their prices up to about $5 per gallon because they thought that was it. There were people price gouging that day. Those people are losers. I'll never forget that. Like, everybody's lining up for gas because we didn't know, you know, what's going to happen. Are we going to be able to get oil and all this kind of, like, the crazy thoughts that were rolling through everybody's mind that day. We all did strange things. But, I mean, being in that newsroom that day, you see how the newsroom is right now, right? There's not a soul in there, right? Imagine that with about 10 or 15 people working full-time, screaming, yelling, moving things around, calling people, getting people on the phone line. I remember calling friends of mine that lived in the city at the time, getting them on the show with Ellen Schenck and Noel Heckerson back in the day. Like, that, we were getting anybody on that we possibly could that was there, that was a witness to it, and, you know, was in New York at that point in time. Like, it was a wild and crazy ride. And then it all kind of, you know, as things do, time kind of marches on. But being alive and doing this job at that point in time was really eye-opening and really special, because it gave us the opportunity to talk to so many people and just to hear from so many people how we, talking sports and nonsense at night on a news talk station, were helping people and healing people. And that was really the first time that I understood the power that we have on the radio for folks, the power we have to help people heal, the power that sports has in all of this. And man, it was just an unbelievable time 23 years ago. And again, if you want to follow, do yourself a favor and follow Ari Fleischer today on Twitter and get that kind of minute by minute, hour by hour of count of everything that was going on as he was there with the president and hearing about Air Force One landing in Nebraska. And it was just bouncing all over the country, trying to hide basically from everybody out there, man. Like,
from the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It was just a wild, bizarre time.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.